Hi, my name is Nathan Totten. Welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm joined by
Nick Harris.
Bam.
Glorious.
All right. So today we're going to, I don't know, what are we going to do? Why don't you tell us?
I thought you had it all figured out.
Okay, so we're going to have a quick look at building cross-device platform experiences using mobile services. So we're going to take a disconnected Windows Store application, connect it to a mobile service, and then look at how we can do data auth and push on that. And then we'll look at an Android application that connects up to that same service.
Cool. So you're going to be using mobile services, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so Android support was just added like a week ago?
Yeah, a week or two weeks ago.
Two weeks ago,
something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's relatively new.
So now we support Windows 8, Windows Phone,
yep.
iOS, and Android, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm no Android expert. Chris is the Android expert, but we'll have a look at the code that I've written there, and you'll see how you can basically pull from the same data source using an Android app and the client SDK for Android.
Cool.
So I think with that, let's get started. So we'll start with a Windows Store app. Now, this is the default getting started template. I've actually downloaded that and essentially removed everything that made it connected. So at the moment, everything that it's saving here is persisting locally. Just to a list in memory.
Cool.
So on the left, we add an item. On the right, you can see the items that were added. So what we should start with is, let's see a mobile service, how we create a mobile service, and then how we connect this app to that mobile service.
Cool.
So if we jump into the portal here, you can see that we've got our mobile services. Now, to create a mobile service, for those of you that haven't seen this before, you hit New, Compute, Mobile Service, Create, and then you just walk through a simple two-step wizard to create your mobile service. Now, because we're doing accelerated Cloud Cover episodes, I've already pre-created a mobile service, and I've performed a little bit of configuration already, which we'll see as we go throughout this. I've done some config for push, and I've done a little bit of config for the identity aspects.
Cool.
Those in themselves take maybe 5 to 10 minutes to configure within WNS and Google and Twitter in this case, but we've sort of got a head start on that. So the first thing which we really want for this app now is to be able to persist these to-do items to mobile services, right? So to do that, we can go across and we can select the data tab, can hit add table, and we can add to-do item and hit save. Now I'm going to need another table a bit later on for push, so we'll call that channel, because that'll be our channel for our push notifications. So with that, it's simply created a table for us. Now all we have to do is really go and wire up our application. So if I select the quick start and then scroll down here, you can see I want to connect an existing application to mobile services. Now you can choose a sort of quick start for each of the device platforms. So Windows Phone, iOS, and Android are there. We're doing Windows Store first here. So the first thing we need is this piece of code, which essentially creates a new instance of our mobile services client. Now I'm going to drop into the application here, select the AppXAML CS. Now some of the pre-config I've done on this is I've added a reference to our mobile services client SDK. So that's where all the classes we'll use today come from. And then within my AppXAML CS, I'm just going to define a static variable here as a new instance of the mobile services client. Now this is essentially our client proxy to the mobile service. So through this, we can do things like login, all the CRUD operations and such. So with that, we've now got a reference to it. Let's go and actually utilize that to perform some inserts, updates, and deletes that application was doing. Now the first thing we need is essentially, in this case, a entity. That's our data transfer object. So this is our to-do item that's serialized across the wire up to our mobile service. You can see it's got a mandatory ID property, a text, and complete property here. So if I select this insert method here, we can write some code now to use that mobile service client reference which we had. We're going to call getTable. Now this is a handle to the to-do item table that I want to operate on, and I'm going to call insertAsync and pass in the to-do item. And with the one line of code there, we're now persisting that data or that to-do item up to our mobile service into the corresponding to-do item table. Now to perform other CRUD operations, like say for instance an update, we can do an update like that, again, handle to the table, call update, and if we wanted to do a query to pull data back down, got a snippet for that, and essentially call get table, but now in this case call where and provide a link expression to filter the result set that's coming back. So with that, I'll spin up this application. And we should now be connected.
Cool.
So another little thing that I implemented for this demo is SnapView. So if we now bring up the portal here and return to our data tab, we can select to-do item. So we're going to do data today. We're going to do a quick auth demo. We're going to do push. And we'll look at Android. So with that, that's our four items added. And if we hit refresh on this now, and we'll see that all of our items have been added.
Cool.
Right. So we can do things like hit update. If we come across and hit refresh now, we'll see that that item has been updated and it's no longer listed in the list. So that's our query, our insert, and our update demonstrated.
Cool.
So let's move on and have a little bit of a look at auth. So what I've done here is perhaps, you know, if you're building out a mobile application and you have some form of web tier for that, typically people go off, they build the web tier, they get the data flow going, which we've just done. But the next question is, hey, how do I lock this down? Now, if you're doing it and programming your own web tier yourself and perhaps deploying to Windows Azure websites, you do actually need to know quite a lot of information about, you know, how auth processes work. Mm-hmm. With mobile services, we've tried to abstract away that complexity and just make it a simple config and a login operation on the client. So what I've actually pre-configured here is in our identity tab, you can see that we support Microsoft account, Facebook, Twitter, and Google. I've already pre-configured Twitter and Google. So with that, we can actually come and start to secure our tables. So to secure a table, we drill into it, we select permissions, and then in our dropdown here, we can actually control at the granularity of each CRUD operation what permissions we want on that. And I only want authenticated users now to be able to log in. Perhaps on read permissions, you may allow everyone to read it in your scenario, but let's just keep it consistent here. So we'll set only authenticated users. So with that, our web tier is now secure. So now when we add an item, our web tier is going to be secured. It's going to exception out because, of course, the client is not authorized. So there you go. You can see unauthorized. So how do we fix that? Essentially, we did configure those identity providers, Twitter and Google. So in this case, I'm going to use Twitter to log in. So I can come in here and simply to log in now, await app.mobileservice, login async, and we pass in the provider, Twitter in this case, and hit save. Hit run. And now we should be prompted with a dialogue to log into Twitter.
Cool.
Put in username. So logging in now. There we go. We're now authorized. It's going to query, pull down our items, and we can now successfully save our data up to our mobile service. So that's data and auth. Cool. Next thing we want to do is perhaps push notifications. So for Windows 8 and other device platforms, such as Windows Phone, even Android, push notifications play a large part of the app ecosystem. In the case of Windows 8, you can see here we've got a number of live tiles of varying sizes and different templates. And push notifications allow you to control how this tile looks. Essentially, they allow you to provide relevant and up-to-date information for your end users to essentially draw them back into your app. So if you're providing that, you know, information that's valuable to them, they're going to click on your app and go back into it. If you're not, if it's something boring like our current template here with my 5 years of university study to be able to draw a smiley face, you know, it's not really providing much value. Let's turn this into a live tile. So to do that, it's a three-step process. The first thing is to request a channel. And to request a channel, there's a WinRT API for that. So if I say k.requestChannel, drop this in, you can see that we're using the push notification channel manager and calling create push notification for channel application async. Extremely long method
name.
That's
quite a method name. Create push notification channel for application async.
Holy That's man. Right. There's actually one longer for secondary tiles.
Awesome.
But I believe that is the longest in
in all of .NET.
I think so.
I wonder if there is any longer one.
It looks a little bit like your method naming conventions, except you normally have a one at the end of it, right? Two.
Exactly.
But that aside, we request the channel, which returns a push notification channel. And then in this case, I'm using a channel DTO for serialization of that channel across the wire. And the key things that I'm passing up there are the channel URI that we just received, so we can direct notifications at that channel. And I'm specifying that, hey, this one's for Windows. Because when we do Android, I'm actually going to flag that, hey, this is not Windows, so perhaps I want to send an Android notification through Google Cloud Messaging. So with that, we then call app mobile service get table for channel in this case, and insert that channel DTO. So that's step one, request a channel, and step two, register that channel with your service. Now within our service, we actually need to now perform an action to send a push notification, right? So we've got the channel, we know we want to send a notification. How can we send that? Well, there's two real ways you can hook into sending notifications here. So the first one is on a CRUD operation using server script. So you can see we can hook into inserts, updates, deletes, and reads. Or you can use the scheduler. So the scheduler here allows you to run tasks on a periodic basis. We're just going to do on insert in this case. So selecting script here, we can copy a snippet I created earlier and drop this in. So let's have a look at what that does. So we've got an insert operation, and this insert operation takes the to-do item. And essentially what I'm doing here is executing the request. So that will save that insert, mm-hmm. save that to-do item. We then respond to the client so it can, you know, go off and do its thing because it's awaiting for the response. And then we go off and send a notification. So to send a notification, we get a handle to the channels table, and we actually go and read out all the channels from that table. We then go and say, well, if it's a Windows channel, I'm going to use push.wns, send toast image text 01. I'm going to target the channel URI that's come from the channel table, and you'll see that in this case, we're going to send a toast with an image and the item text that we pasted or passed up. We're also going to send a wide tile, and we're going to send a badge. So they're the three different types of tile updates you can send. They're the two types of tile updates and a toast update as well. You can also do raw if you want, but we won't do that today. Alternatively, if it's not Windows, you can do push GCM and send data to your Android devices. So with that, our application's ready to go. So we can actually spin this up now. Now that's going to go off, request a channel, register it with my cloud service. We're going to have to log in again here. Yeah, that's all right.
Awesome.
Hit authorize. So now we should have our channel. So let's do something. In Australia, we like to barbecue, not grill. So let's say barbecue chicken. Hit save. So that's now executing that insert script. And you can see that we've got our toast come in. Nice. With the text.
Who
we've
is
got
that random picture of
a I met her on the interwebs.
All right.
And there's our barbecue chicken. So there's our barbecue chicken, our tile, our badge, and our text. No, in actual fact, that's a good question, Nate. I'm glad you asked it. I did not meet her on the interwebs in the way that you think. What I actually did was found, let me go to Bing here, and if we search for tile template enums, and you click in here, you can see that if you're trying to determine what shape you want your tile or toast to look like, in this case tiles, you can come and select or find this, and essentially it shows you what each different template type looks like. And then back within the portal, there's overloads on send for each of those different template types. So that's you know, a useful bit of information, and that's where the picture come from. So with that, I do believe that we've now done auth and push. We can get rid of this, and we've had a barbecue chicken, which basically just leaves Android. So let's take a look at that. I'm going to drop that there and return to my desktop, and what do we have here?
Something crazy.
Crazy, it's Eclipse, right? So you can see here in my Package Explorer that if we come down and open libs, there's actually a mobile services library for Android. And that can be downloaded through the portal if we come across and go to our Quick Start, select Android. You can get the bits from here. So install the Android SDK, and then you've got those bits. So that's part one. Now, part two is, how do we go and do all those sorts of things with Android? So we won't step through them in depth today, but you can see here on my screen, Mobile Services Client. It's essentially the same thing that we do in Windows. A little bit different, this with filter for progress for Android.
We're basically following Android conventions, just like we do for iOS and other platforms.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. And the main thing about this is, the experience, though, if you're a developer and you're maybe mostly focused on, you know, Windows or Windows Phone, when you come and do this, at least from the API perspective, it's quite similar. So you can see this is a login operation, and we're passing in this case, the Google provider. Inserts and updates as well are much the same. So if we come down here, you can see there's an insert operation and a callback, which will execute on completed.
And do you have those awesome, crazy long method names?
Right, you're talking about for channel registration and such. I don't believe they're quite as long in here, no. we won't look at that today. But let's deploy this, right? Or run this. So I've already got the emulator here.
Because it takes an hour to load.
Yes, the emulator does take quite some time to kick off. I'm sure all you Android devs out there know that, which is why it started already. So let's run Keynote. But as you can see here, we can now get our login control. And in this case, it's using Google because that was what we passed into the provider. And of course, when we looked at the identity tab in the mobile services portal, we'd already pre-configured Google as one of our identity providers.
I see. So does this, I assume Android does single sign-on with Google, does it not?
Actually,
if you had an account linked already, does it already log you in, or do they not do single sign-on?
Well, yeah, I'm not an Android dev. Let's ask Chris.
All right.
Okay. I always do hotmail.com. I don't know why. There's a bit of a lag here, as you can see.
It's a very...
One more.
I mean, you've only got 16 gigs of memory and two quad cores, a couple SSDs.
Yep.
Got now, the beefier machine to...
This will be interesting because this password shows when I type it in, and I'm not sure if at the event where I showed this last, if...
Yes.
If someone went and pwned my account.
Oh, this is your real account? With your real password?
Yeah. My real password is I love Scott Kuhnate. Of course it's not a real account.
I didn't read it. I don't know. I didn't read it fast enough.
It's NH Azure.
I don't know.
Yeah. So with that now, we're logged in. And now our Android emulator with this application is now querying that same backend, the same mobile service. And it will pull down the items and then we'll see them here.
Quite speedy.
There we go.
All right.
Speedy Gonzales. There was a children's cartoon called that.
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's Bugs Bunny.
Back in the day. So let's try this. Hello from Android. Hit add. And at the same time, let's do hello from Windows. Hit save. Now, the Windows one is saved up pretty quick. The Android emulator is a little bit slower. But if I now hit refresh on this, you'll should see that now we've got the data from both lists synchronized here. Now, if you recall, we did see that the push also sent a message using Google Cloud Messaging.
Yep.
So if I pull this down here, you can see that there's a message from when we performed an insert.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's basically it. So mobile services being used for data auth and push notifications. And also providing, you know, great cross-device platform experience.
Cool. All right. Well, some exciting new things. So with that, probably call it a day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as always, follow us on Twitter at CloudCoverShow. And follow Nick, Cloud Nick, and myself, N. Totten. And like us on Facebook down there. I think we're up to like 60 or 70 likes now. So that's very exciting. Yeah. Our celebrity status is building.
Maybe we should do this at the start of the show.
That's true. We do find that nobody's watching at this point, so we can do whatever we want. We're gonna, you know, we should start announcing fake new Windows Azure features at the end of the show.
Okay.
Or maybe fake. Like, every third episode we'll announce something real.
Fake.
But you don't know
features.
If it's real, so we'll keep people watching. Mary Jo will watch anyway to see our fake announcements. No. Okay. Anyway, so with that, let's call it a day. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.